Welcome to this podcast, produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Adapting in Every Moment and features Andrew Chapman in an interview with Erin Sheena.
Hello, everyone. My name is Erin Sheena. I'd like to welcome Andrew Chapman. Thanks so much for joining me today on this Imagine podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. So as music therapists, we know that when we think outside the box, we can create successful music experiences for children of all ability levels. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we'd really like to find out how you make music accessible for young learners, what kind of adaptation you make or assistance that you give, and in which ways this supports and transforms the participation and engagement of your clients. So we've got some questions for you. First, just tell us, where do you work? What's your role? What do you do?
I am the clinic coordinator for the University of Louisville Music Therapy Clinic. I've been working here since about June of 2022. So it's been a wild ride and an incredible one. I love the clinic and I love the work we do. So it's a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Congrats on your role. I know you interned
Thank
there
you.
Right before.
Yes, U of L is really dear to my heart. I was also an undergraduate student there, and it's a great community of folks to be with and to learn from as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. So what everyday situation comes to your mind when you hear about adaptive music making in the early childhood setting?
Mm. Really, we do so much adaptation. I feel like almost every clinical experience has some form of adaptation, right? I was really thinking about that word. I was like, man, how often do I adapt in a day? So often. Really, particularly what comes to mind is our work with visually impaired preschool in the area. Mm. These are specific really adaptations that really stand out to me because they're working around a very specific need that exists there. So that's one. And then also I work a lot and we do a lot with like sort of adapted rock band type things. So that's another thing that comes to mind as well.
Cool. That sounds very fun. I would like to join.
Absolutely. You're welcome anytime.
So in what way can adaptive music making support the access and sense of belonging for young children in your sessions?
Yeah, I think that's so important. I wanted to quote the clinic's mission and vision because I think it really explains why it's important to make music experiences accessible and equal to everyone. One of the things that we really want to do is to explore therapeutic approaches that value human experience, create rich musical experiences, and explore resource mobilization. And in addition, I think this is really important because especially with a lot of the people that we work with, there are both social inequalities and systems of oppression and also general barriers, right? Whether that be financial to music access. And one of our missions and visions is that we really want to make that accessible and, available to everybody. When you engage in music, when you're a kid, especially, you assign so much meaning to music. And I know as a kid, I looked up to people who made music and, at sometimes maybe it felt a little unachievable, right? So like, I think that assigns a really important like societal role to music too, and that we can make people feel successful in their role as a person and as a human and affirm their humanity through music, regardless of their ability level.
Yeah, absolutely. And really setting them up for success, regardless of that ability level, right?
100%.
Adaptation, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it sounds like you're focusing really on not just access, but equitable access between groups and for people in your community.
100%. Yeah.
Do you have any tips about how to adapt instruments or music lessons that have been really successful for you?
Definitely. I want to shout out Brianna Henderson, I believe is her name, who is a music therapist out of Atlanta, I believe. I, I got this idea from her and from her colleague Reese. I don't remember his last name, but they presented at a regional conference last year on adapted rock bands, and we're using so what we do currently with our adapted rock band, I'll just kind of speak to that, and which I kind of learned from them, is using a lot of open tunings and color coordinated stickers. So we tune all of our electric guitars to open D and teach folks to use their finger as a bar, just over the whole fret, and put stickers on each bar, similar to how you might see like a ukulele or something like that. Yeah. But I think that just goes to show, I mean, when we think adapted instruments, sometimes we don't think like drum set or like electric guitar or bass. Those are all workarounds. You can open tune those suckers. You can, you know, hold up, I hold up colored cards for each chord, use two or three chord songs. And especially if you have a few folks who can really hold a beat, you can really bring a group together. That's one of the things that just, I mean, it's not a very practical thing, but the thing I was thinking about when you're making these adapted experiences is recognizing folks' strengths, right? And like assigning those and like encouraging folks to play into their strengths. What can this person do that is going to be beneficial to the whole group, rather than, you know, what do I need to do to like make up for this like quote unquote deficit, right? You know, that strength-based thinking. So that goes a long way, I've found. Yeah, the color-coded things are a game changer, and open tunings are also a game changer for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you said about how it's adaptive or adapted experiences, not just the instruments, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How have you used assistive technology kind of within sessions? How has that been meaningful for you?
Mm. I love technology. It's one of my favorite things. And I think there's a conception about technology and assistive technology that it might be a little tricky and unapproachable to use. The great news is that like it can also be adapted, right? Even for music therapists, right? Like sometimes we need adaptations to do things. Just a funny story that I really like. I had one clinic artist that I was working with that we adapted their assistive device, which is an iPad, I believe, they really love to listen to like their Alexa play songs, and had a few preferred things, but were minimally speaking. And we adapted it to say, Alexa, there was a button that said, Alexa, play Dolly Parton or whatever, you know. That's just a kind of a wacky example. But other things that I love are things like Chrome Music Labs that have really nice visuals, really accessible, and like minimal like explanation needed to engage in that kind of thing. Everything from like spectrograms that they have to like beat making things that are color coordinated and rely on those, like especially really children accessible visuals are really cool. And along those lines, anything that uses like MIDI, like MIDI controllers, GarageBand is great for that specifically. And I love the ability to make different sounds with one keyboard, which can really be accessible and cool when you're working with one person who might only know like how to play Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on the keyboard. But with a MIDI controller, they can play it like with 50 different instruments, right? So I love that kind of thing too.
Yeah, that really lets the creativity flow, right?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm. So kind of thinking along those lines, actually, what do you feel like is a good option for non-standard music notation when you're working with young kids?
Tip and trick. I love Canva. I use Canva like 1,000 times a day, I feel like. I was kind of like clicking around and doing some research and like trying to find some different musical notations and things like that. Almost all of them and that have worked for me as well are those color coordinated like circles, right? That correspond to things on the keyboard.
Yeah.
And used to, I mean, you know, the ability to make those was limited, but now, I mean, you can go on Canva and insert 5 different, you know, circles and make them all different colors up to the shade and the hue, right? So it's, I mean, really accessible music has never been more accessible, I feel like, you know. I love color coordinated things. I also love like almost like gestural things or a lot of times I'll use like length of a shape to express the rhythmic value or something like that. So short, short, long, that kind of thing is what I also use in conjunction with the color stuff a lot as well. Mm-hmm. Also not to discount the role of the voice and the gesture, right? And the prompting. I always think about the levels of prompting that I'm giving. Mm-hmm. Like there's the visual prompt of colors, right? But maybe, you know, you need to pair that with your voice the first time. Maybe there's, you know, a need for hand over hand at first, potentially. You know, I think to consider all of those things across the spectrum of prompting is also important too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the facilitation and kind of leading your clients in counts as a non-standard notation too.
For sure. Yeah. I think if we could, you know, there are some pieces of music nowadays that have like, you know, notation that just looks like a bunch of squiggly lines. So who says that we can't do it? Right. I love to have that freedom and that creative freedom to say, honestly, like play this squiggly line and see what that sounds like. That kind of feeds into some of those ideas of like improvisation and things like that too. But yeah, I love that kind of stuff.
Just switching gears a little bit. How do you adapt songwriting for young kids?
Songwriting is one of my favorite things in the whole world. And it's one of my favorite to enter into, especially with someone who has minimal experience in it, using narrative and improvisational songwriting, especially with younger kids. I think that can be really impactful. Setting up a story by saying something like once upon a time, and then letting that sort of take you where it will. One thing that I am always super aware of in songwriting is the ability to make choices. And my choices for what choices are presented, right? So like in the moment as a music therapist, you might say, well, this person might be a little overwhelmed by all of these choices, by how fast or slow it should go, by, you know, the content of the lyrics. So maybe I'll choose one of those and leave the other choice up to them, you know? So feeling out how those choices can be made that will best reflect and make the person successful in their songwriting.
What are some of the non-traditional environments for making music that come to your mind?
One thing that came to my mind is that we do occasionally summer work with a low-income housing company in Louisville. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, looks like pretty much, and it's kind of open, come and go. One of us goes and sets up and is kind of prepared for anything, right? Has a lot of things in the basket, per se. Mm-hmm. And some of the most unexpected, but also super cool things have come out of that group when you kind of have to be ready to adapt to almost anything, to like 2 to 18, you know, at that kind of putting yourself in those situations, I feel like when you kind of are forced to adapt in the moment and then, you know, next time, oh, what can I be prepared for? It has been really cool to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what is, you know, kind of thinking of all of this, what is your top advice for kind of adapting music making in early childhood settings?
My probably top advice would be to really pay attention to your client or clinic artists or patients' musical strengths and their identity in music. Regardless of what they, you know, can or cannot do or are advised to or advised not to in music therapy, they absolutely have preferences and they absolutely have strengths. And regardless of what those are, you can find some way to adapt to those. So I think that's my top advice is be aware of people's humanity and strengths, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, make the connection so that you can figure out what those strengths are and
100%.
What they like. Yeah,
because it's definitely individually based too, right? One adaptation for one person is not going to work, might not work for the next person. Mm-hmm. So thinking on your toes and also just treating everybody like individuals, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, are there any resources that you want to recommend or shout out? You've named a couple throughout, but any others you want to add?
I think the ones that I haven't mentioned so far, I would definitely, if you're interested in using technology in music therapy and haven't made the foray quite yet, the Music Therapy Tech Nook is pretty amazing. They have tutorials right now from everything from like virtual studio instruments to mobile apps and things like that. That is very relevant to this conversation.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time with me today and offering your perspective and expertise. It sounds like there's some really, really cool things going on in your program. And yeah, I really appreciate you sharing with us.
Thank you. You're the best. Thank you for talking with me. It's been awesome.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2023.